I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
Look at the buttercream on that cake.
And the bulldog.
Yeah, when the kids were little, we just like to go in the lake. Natural selection. You come back great.
On WGR.
Look at that fondant.
Sports Radio 550.
All right, happy Friday. I got to ask you something in a minute, but
okay.
Just want to get in first how great it feels to have a super strong feeling about an NFL game based purely in logic. Did I say logic?
Yeah.
In logic.
Sure.
Based purely in logic and, you know, just like from a really smart place and then have it go Kansas City 30, Denver 6, even without Mahomes.
Right.
That feels really good. That just really confirms my feeling about my own status in this job and my place in the world.
And conversely, I feel terrible about having done no real work or thinking about the game whatsoever and only choosing at the very last moment last night to pick Kansas City against your pick of Denver just to make it interesting.
Just for something to do.
Just for something to do. And, hey, I win. So I'm just walking around flexing today. I'm so proud.
Yeah, like you, the Chiefs were totally the donkey side of that game. Oh, you're the public? You're so dumb.
Right.
The Chiefs.
You see.
You can't live like that. Oh, I see. Because they lost the last 2 weeks, now you feel like they're probably cheaper than usual, so you want to take advantage. That's your thinking? Oh, good thinking. I'm on the sharp side.
Right.
I know that the money is all in on Kansas City from the dumb public, but the smart money is on Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they've won the last two games and the line is only 3, I still feel like Denver is where you want to be there because that is smart.
Yeah. They did get off to it. They scored first, didn't they?
They scored first. They got 2 penalties. They got the ball to start the game. They got 2 penalties on that drive on third down to save them. One was a face mask, and then there was a defensive holding or pass interference. And then they went to the 1 yard line, and Royce Freeman, I tweeted in the morning, it's time for Royce Freeman to score. There it is, first drive, Royce Freeman, 6-0. They kick the extra point, 7-0. They do the thing the Bills do because the Chiefs had a penalty, so they took the extra point down and went for 2 and missed it, and they never scored again. 6.
Yeah.
They had 7. On the first drive, they ended up with 6.
Turns out that 7 wouldn't have helped.
Probably not. Well, What about momentum, though, Bulldog? Did the extra point really – do you know that it didn't affect the feelings of all the players equally, massively?
I can't say for certain.
The Broncos on offense were a joke. Here's Joe. He's got Noah Fant in his Shopes and Dreams lineup. Noah Fant, tight end. He drops 3 real plays, like 3 – bad drops from this guy in the game and settles for 1 catch for 7 yards. Noah Fant. It's the worst when that happens on Thursday night.
Brutal.
You hate that. You look at your team the whole weekend and figure out what to do with your life. There's that 1.7 staring at you.
Sitting there, right, taunting you.
Awful.
Yeah.
Hate that.
That's tough.
You hate to have like a real egg get laid on Thursday night football, and you you stare at that the whole weekend, and it just messes with you.
I didn't see a minute of this game. I know what happened. I got home and right in time to watch the hockey game, so I was up on what had happened to Mahomes and everything, but I did not watch it. I haven't even seen. Well, I saw one highlight. I saw Matt Moore to Tyreek Hill. I saw that highlight. I haven't seen the play that Mahomes got hurt on. I saw a close-up of Joe Flacco from Kyle Krabs' Twitter feed. Had a close-up of Flacco. It's like it's the neck up. And it's him throwing the ball, and as he's throwing it, maybe this gets it's in slow motion. Like he sort of like closes his eyes and winces as he throws, and then when he opens his eyes, he's sort of like, oh, like, well, that was horrible. And I thought, that's Joe Flacco, like right there. That's it. Like that is peak Flacco.
There's also the
Pico.
Play. There's Pico. There's also the play where he throws it to Philip Lindsay. They're down 30-6 at this point. This is near the end of the game. It's like out in the flat, and there's a linebacker waiting there to light Lindsay up. And Flacco throws it anyway. Lindsay catches it, gets hit pretty hard, gets up, looks at Flacco, and yells something.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he yelled, but right. He was visibly angry that Flacco threw the passer for him to get his head taken off.
Right. Yeah, thanks for that.
Mahomes' play was a sneak. Right. Maybe a fourth down and fourth and inches kind of play. And, you know, he just did the thing you do and did not get up. I just, like, I don't know exactly what happened to him down there, but your first thought is it's his ankle. Like, you've heard all day and all week about how his ankle isn't right. So, he just aggravated his ankle injury, but obviously that's not it. And he's probably gone until, like, December. Mahomes, like even with the good news, the quote good news today.
Right, the good news is at least 3 weeks, I think, is the minimal.
Yeah, 8, 9, 10, and you know maybe he plays right there. That's around Thanksgiving or a little before, like the absolute earliest, I guess. You know, if that doesn't have to be right, but that's probably right. I read David Chow on Mahomes, and it's like he's going to need surgery either now or later, like because that can
right.
Well, you come back with this, and you come back early, you're a little vulnerable.
Yeah, dislocated kneecap means that the ligaments around the kneecap have all stretched, and that's that you're at great risk for that to just happen again if you step the wrong way, even whatever. I mean, I have a little experience. I've done this twice.
Yes,
and the second time was because it happened once, and so it's that much more. I mean, you're more susceptible to it happening again because I never got the surgery because. Well, I'm not the MVP of the NFL. So I was able to live without it just as long as I didn't play softball anymore.
Look at us so far. You've got the hockey game covered. I've got the football game. I watch the football game. You have dislocated kneecap experience. I say things like Largic. Like we really have got it all.
Yep.
We've got it all here. Matt Moore. So it's just amazing. Joe and I were talking about this a few minutes ago. You're in fantasy football. Think about all the different quarterbacks that have come up so far this year. The season is not even half over yet. This is the beginning of week 7. And I made a list of these guys because I just wanted to see how many it actually is. If you go back to, so you have your draft, right? This is a normal league. Let's say you had it before Andrew Luck retired. Jacoby Brissett would not have been drafted in your draft unless you had a 2-quarterback league or dynasty or something. Just apart from that. Brissett, like right away, you either have waivers before week one or you have to wait until after week one, and Brissett's a commodity. And these are not in the right order, but Darnold goes away after week one. So it's Trevor Siemian in week two, your week two free agent quarterback. Ooh, I'm not that good at quarterback. Maybe I want, you know, these vary in like importance.
And that lasted about 10 minutes.
He breaks his leg right away, and the next week, Luke Falk is the guy, you know, and they have a bad schedule, and you probably don't really want Luke Falk, but maybe you do. Daniel Jones happens at that time, and then he has a great game, and like, we've got to get Daniel Jones. Who else? Minshew.
Yep.
Week two is Minshew. Foles gets hurt in the opener.
Right.
So who's this Minshew? I don't know. It's Jacksonville. Then he's good. Got to get him. The Pittsburgh and New Orleans injuries. Breeze goes out. Roethlisberger goes out for the year. What week is that? Week one? It's week one.
It's week two. He played the whole game against the Patriots. Week two, the elbow
Seattle.
Went in the second game. Like
it, right.
Yeah.
So he played the second game. That's right. And so did. That's what happened to Breeze, too. Same day.
Yeah, it was same day.
I think. Saints-Rams.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So it's, I got to have Mason Rudolph.
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater. And on it goes. Kyle Allen in Carolina.
Right.
Chase Daniel, when Trubisky gets hurt for the Bears. Got to have Chase Daniel. Eventually, Rudolph gets hurt, and it's Devlin Hodges. Maybe this happened with Washington. Like, I know they're not good, but Colt McCoy is going in. We had Keenum maybe drafted, or Haskins even maybe drafted. Colt McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill.
Yep.
This week, it was Ryan Tannehill.
That's the new one, yep.
And next week, it'll be Matt Moore. And so, like, if you're – I like these leagues where – you have a free agent budget. It's not just like waiver order. You have money. You have to decide how much money you're going to commit to anybody on free agency. And, you know, there could be, like, if McCaffrey got hurt or, like, Barkley got hurt, you go right after those running backs. And, you know, running back and receiver is usually where you do most of that work. But this year, quarterback, I mean, it's a pretty good chance you've had injuries. In this league that Paul runs, just because of the format, there's a very strict limit on moves, and it's a two-quarterback league. I drafted five quarterbacks that night. I thought it was a little insane, but it was a strategy. I'm going to draft five quarterbacks because if I have an injury, I probably won't have two. If I have an injury, no. I'm going to have options. I can really take advantage of the matchups. And I think the biggest point is I think that other teams, other guys are going to need quarterbacks, and I'm going to have them all. So you're going to have a problem.
Okay.
Guess what has not happened?
You haven't had
nobody has needed my quarterbacks because there's been all these guys to pick from.
Right.
And I had Darnold, who went away after week one for a while, and I cut him to make room for somebody. I have Mahomes in that league. I have Newton in that league. Like, those are three of my five guys. Like, I'm not deep at all anymore. Anyway, you get the point.
Yep.
Really, I just could have made the point and not talked for 5 minutes after it.
I've been pretty lucky. Like, in that league, I drafted three guys. Brissett was the third of the three. I got Jackson and Mayfield, and no one's gotten hurt. Mayfield hasn't been real good, but nobody's gotten hurt, and I'm just kind of hanging out. it just hasn't happened.
The Mahomes injury is a real bummer. You know, they're on Sunday night next week. Everybody thinks this. Like, you got to see the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And now that they're not the Chiefs. Like, now it's just not as cool. They play the Packers next Sunday night at home, and they play Minnesota coming up, too. That's interesting. The Packer game is the better. That's the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
And he will not be there. So,
bad news for us Hill, Kelsey, et cetera, owners, too, and I think.
What are they at running back? Nobody gets the ball. Nobody, like, it's McCoy, I guess. What are they, is that what that is? Isn't it? Here, I have it right here from last night. McCoy, 12 carries. I guess it would be Damian Williams, 9 for 7 yards. Sherman? Anthony Sherman, is that who that is?
Fullback, yep.
2 for 7. Darrell Williams, I have him in a couple teams, but that's not doing anything. 2 for 1.
Give the ball to that Sherman on that quarterback sneak play, probably.
Yeah, and if he doesn't make it, I'll come into this show the next day and say, why didn't you just sneak it? Right. So I don't know, like, maybe McCoy is the guy to own there. We'll talk to Mike Dempsey next hour, Football Diehards, and focus more on fantasy with him. He may not sound like it, apart from the fact that I used the word largic today.
Right.
But I've had kind of a sick morning, like, not like cool, but just like I have been sick today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I had too much to drink last night. It's just, that's just why. Like, I'm hungover.
Okay.
Well, right, today? Well,
that happens.
And you and I were talking about this, and the subject of drinking the next morning to feel better came up.
The old hair of the dog, yes.
Yeah, like, tell me about this. Because I did, you know,
well,
it just did not seem, it does not seem like a good idea.
Well, it's not, I don't think, if you got to go to work, you know, like you did. I mean, I wouldn't suggest doing it if you got to go to work, but because you said, like, you thought about maybe having a beer to see what that would do, and I said, like, that's a move. For me, if it's just gonna be a day where I'm just sitting around, like, that's almost nap inducing if you do that, and then you wake up and maybe feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so if you've got the time to do it, you know, that has worked for me in the past. You know, it's not to say, like, I had too much to drink last night, so I was gonna start hitting it again harder
than
I did yesterday. Like, that's not the
it's
play.
It's one.
Right. Have one and, you know, maybe, like, whatever, the soccer's on, and I'll just sit here for a couple hours, and I'll nap, and then I'm going to get up at, you know, 1 o'clock and be like, okay, you know what, I feel pretty good now.
Is it the beer that does that, or is it the nap?
I don't need,
let's say you don't take the nap.
Well, the beer does, my experience is, if you feel that unsettled sort of, whether you're actually throwing up or whatever, you just don't feel good, you just feel a little stomach sick, you're uneasy.
Today, me.
A beer will either, you know, it just further intoxicates you so that you don't recognize that you feel that, or either way, it makes that kind of go away so that you can go to sleep. Because I can have, you know, in my time of being hungover, I feel like it's been a while since I've been hungover, which is good. I can't always go to sleep because I feel so lousy. So the one beer will sort of, okay, all right, now I'm gonna close my eyes, go to sleep. Get a couple hours of sleep and get up and sort of start over again.
Would you expect the science to back this up?
No.
No, you don't think so? Well, why wouldn't it?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
If you think it doesn't, you're saying you think it's psychological.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know if the science would back it up.
I would guess that it probably does.
Yeah.
That, like, you sort of answered that earlier a little bit, like why it could make you feel better, right? Either. I would guess that it isn't the one possibility where you're just like, you don't recognize that you're, you know, nauseated right. So much as it is just something about, I don't know. There's probably some science behind it. That's my guess.
Yeah. I mean,
like to guess
whether
there's science behind things and sometimes find out and sometimes not.
Yeah. I've never thought enough about it to look into it. It's just, it is a move that I have used in the past and I feel like I've had success with it. And that's the farthest I've never thought to Google, is this actually beneficial? Is there proof that this is helping me? Or is it just that maybe I would have fallen asleep anyways. But, you know, sometimes it just doesn't feel like that's going to happen. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna maybe induce this. I'm going to get a little full. I'm going to have a beer, and now I'm out.
One of the questions that you sometimes will see if you're reading about, like, having a drinking problem or something, and yes, I have read these sort of things myself, will be like, do you want a drink in the morning? Do you crave a drink in the morning? And so in my case, I like never do.
Right.
So that makes me feel like every other choice I make in my life is correct because right. I do not have this problem since I never want to have a drink in the morning. Now, if it actually is good to do that, if you're feeling sick from the night before, well, then you're stuck.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd rather feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, when I've done this, it's never been like, oh my God, get me a drink. It's just been, you know, I'm just going to do this. I feel like hell. And it's not something even that is often that well thought out. I could be just, you know, I'm up, I'm trying to grind it out here. I go down to the basement to throw a load of laundry in, and the beer fridge is right there. I'd be like, I'm just going to throw one back here.
No reason why not. That's why.
It's Saturday. I'm going to throw one back and see what happens.
No reason why not.
And, you know, I just feel like I've had positive results doing that.
All right.
So, well, too late now. You're here. So, but
yeah, I made it without.
Yeah.
One, I think probably the most common aspect of the Bills game Sunday that we've talked about in here this week is the point spread. It's been 27 years since they were a favorite this big. And I just think that's really interesting to talk about. Like, fans, however they feel about it, like, in terms of your confidence in the Bills to be able to just, like, flatten Miami. Because this is not a team that we are accustomed to thinking that about, the Bills. You know, like, we might think they're pretty good. We might think they can piece together a playoff year, and we certainly think that now with the way it's gone so far. But this is not 1992. This is not a team where we're, obviously, we're thinking this way. But as bad as Miami is, this is where we are. I think, and if you want to talk about this, feel free. 803-0550 is our number. Got a guest at 4, and then we'll have Sal on from 5 to 6 for our roundtable. I think there is a not-so-unlikely outcome to this game where the Bills win a game, maybe they don't cover. Their implied total is 28 points. It's 16 and 40, so 28 to 12 is like the score, if you will, the score that we're supposed to see here. And let's say they win 20 to 10. You know, like, they're never really threatened. They go up 20 to 3 or something. Like, it's like the Giant game, you know, a game like that.
Yep.
I think, how will we sound? If they beat Miami 20-10 to go to 5-1, are we going to be like, you know, singing the shout song all the time, or are we going to be like, what are we actually? What will it sound like? I think what will probably happen, one way that will manifest, is we'll have a week or a post game show or something where people will call to complain about us because we'll say, well, this didn't go very well today, or, and somebody will hear that and go, idiot, 5-1.
Right, I'm not that impressed, or you know, whatever.
Right.
Like, everybody that's good has been killing this team, and like we had to squeak one out, or even
anything
whatever.
Like that.
Right.
Anything like that.
Yeah, I think mostly, I don't think it... I don't think winning the game, no matter how they win the game, they win the game by 30, I don't want to listen to the shout song. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's going to be very quickly, and this has been true for a few years now, where the game ends and the next game is already in the window, like right away, and I think that that happens. The Bills are up by 2 scores at halftime. I'm going to be thinking about the Eagles. That's what I'm going to be thinking about. I mean, okay, who are they playing today? How do they look? They're playing Dallas, right, Sunday night?
At night.
Right. Like, okay, I'm going to get a look at that and probably draw some conclusions that probably aren't exactly right based on what they do in the game, whatever. I'm going to just watch them, and that maybe will feel like a real game. Yeah, almost, you know, Philadelphia's not that far removed from being great. They're not so great right now, but I think they're to be respected. They stand out on this schedule as a test because the schedule is so full of, like, you know, games that you feel pretty good about just sitting here looking at them even week.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Away, I just think it'll be about the Eagles right away. That's what I would predict. Because that's what, you know, that happens almost regardless of who you're playing and who you're playing next. I think that only gets accelerated because it's the Dolphins and then the Eagles. You know, that and that I don't think I'll be alone in that. I think I'll have a lot of company. Just, okay, here we go. Now, you did what you needed to do. Great. Thank you. Push it aside. Here comes a real team.
Yeah, this is a game where maybe you really don't learn a lot about the Bills unless it goes badly. You know, if they win easily, the story is the Dolphins.
Right.
Like that's what's happening in the Dolphins games. If you beat them badly, well, you're like the Chargers beat them. It wasn't like 59-10 like Baltimore or something, but it was decisive. And you know, okay, well, Miami is the story. They might be the worst team in NFL history. If the way that this, you know, that isn't the case, is if the Bills struggle. And if they struggle, then they're the story.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those games, and that's kind of life as a good team or a team where people are trying to figure out how good you are. Like the Patriot game, I know for me was, yeah, I mean, if they blow you out, they blow you out. Like that's New England. So I'm not going to – it was the reverse of this.
Yeah, right.
And here it's like, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe we'll be on to Philadelphia. And they do play Sunday night as well, as you said. So – We'll be watching that game with the Bills in mind. The thing about the Eagles is like they have been terrible against the pass. So you want to be able to throw on them. Think about what Devontae Adams did in the Green Bay game and Detroit. Like they get thrown on. So that'll be the topic next week. 803-0550 if you want to get into Bills Dolphins with us. We will again have Mike Dempsey and Sal Capaccio on later. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here on WGR.
He brings a little bit of a different skill set to the table than, say, what Frank does or what TJ does or Sonoris now, which is good. What he brings is the ability in the run and the pass game. Not that the other guys don't. He's a young player that's going to continue to grow and get better. He's a great respect for the game and his teammates in terms of earning things and wanting to go about his business the right way. And I think you saw some of that just by the way he plays and the way he handles himself in between plays. So I was impressed by the way he handled the injury. He stayed around all bye week, had a chance to go home, and decided to stay to get himself more right to hopefully go this week to help us out.
Okay, Sean McDermott on WGR this morning.
I want to kind of maybe get excited about Singletary coming back. He looked really nice. It was very limited exposure. 10 carries total in the two games before he got hurt in the Giant game. But there's it's funny, like they've sort of kept winning while he's been out. Kept winning. It's not they're 4-1. I have to sort of keep reminding myself that they've still only played 5 games, you know. But I think he could really spark isn't quite enough. But I don't want to overdo it and say he could be a game changer, but I think he's nice. Like, he's got something that they really do not have in Gore. I mean, Gore does what Gore does, and that's been good, and it's solid, and it's dependable. Singletary, explosive, just the opportunity to make guys miss. There's just a shiftiness element. I don't think they've barely scratched the surface with him as a pass catcher. And I know he didn't have a lot of that on his resume at all coming out of college. But I still think you can utilize him that way. I'm really excited. I mean, I don't know that they really need him in this game necessarily against Miami, but moving forward, he gives them something they have not had back there. That's pretty cool.
You know, I was thinking about that, the Bills at running back yesterday, thinking about, like, so what do we expect to have happen here and what is happening? And Singletary's injury, you know, mitigates this somewhat because, you know, he hasn't played since week 2. But, you know, we spent a lot of time on their roster, their depth chart at running back in the offseason. Like, why is LeSean McCoy still here? What is going to happen there? Why did you sign Frank Gore? Why would you get older when you have LeSean McCoy and then you sign Gore and you get older? Like, why would you do that? Why would you trade up and draft Singletary? They traded up for him, didn't they? Either way, like, why would you draft that wasn't one that really bothered me so much. Trading up bothers me, but, you know, drafting a running back in the 3rd round can be fine. And then Yeldon, like, Yeldon's on a 2-year contract, and what are they planning on him for? Like, what is he here for? And where they are, even with the Singletary injury, is pretty good. And Gore is impressive, right? I mean, is he maybe better than you thought so far? There's the point about who they're playing, and sometimes that's some factor in all these kinds of things. But
I don't know that I would say he's better than I thought. I think I respected what he did last year in Miami. It was more for me. I never really wanted him to be the number one running back because I think there is an element that's lacking there. Like, he's not going to hurt you in space. And I think the game, more than ever, is about guys that can hurt you in space. So I would not have wanted them. If Singletary were healthy, I might guess, I could be wrong about this, but I think the transition to him would be well underway by now, because I think he showed so much promise. I mean, you know, he started the game. He started the opener and played like 70% of the snaps over Gore. So the fact that he didn't touch the ball a lot, you know, sort of mitigates that because he never had a game where he looked like the number one running back by the stats you go look at now. But if you look at the snap count from that first game, he was their running back in that game, and Gore was the complement. And I think that's where I want them to be, ultimately. As nice as – I think Gore's role can still be very useful, but as a complement. I think I want the more explosive guy, the guy that can make people miss out in space and you know, maybe catch a screen pass, make a guy miss, and get 30 yards. I just don't think Gore is really doing that for you.
He has had a couple of bigger runs,
19, 20 yards. Yeah, Gore has. I think those are plays that maybe a faster guy might score on. You know, like, that's what I'm thinking about. That's the point I'm really making about Singletary. Even though, when drafted, he's not a home run hitter. But I think compared to Gore, he's more of a home run hitter than Gore is. So I'm excited that he's going to be back. I've missed him because, again, they've managed to, you know, get by here. And Gore has been good. But I'm still I was intrigued by Singletary when they drafted him and right on through. And when the season started, I thought, okay, well, here we go. He's their running back. He's playing. He played, you know, 70% of the snaps in the opener. But it went away after he got hurt, obviously.
There's Lewis with us. Hi, Lewis.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I'm really glad you guys are talking about this. I was just talking to a friend about this, the running back situation. Even though, like, when we're watching a game with Gore and he's playing good and we're happy and you know, he gets a gain a game, couple of them, that's what I remember when I see him play. I say, oh, okay, you know, we got Frank Gore. You know, he's older guy. But when we talk about Singletary and this hamstring, a hamstring could be, he could play this week and be out for another couple weeks after this. I don't have that much trust in our running backs. I know that I'm being negative in a great season, and this is not what people want to talk about during the season, but we're looking at our offensive linemen for trades. We're looking at, I don't even want to talk about trades, but we're looking at wide receivers. I think the hole is at running back. I don't want to be in a position where we were a couple years ago where a guy gets hurt and then Marcus Murphy is playing in the playoff game against Jacksonville. I want to be in a position where we could have some type of depth behind there, because for the last few years, it just doesn't seem like this general manager or coaching staff, you know, relies that much on the running back, but they say that they do while bringing in a fullback or having, you know, four tight ends to help out with blocking.
I'm not sure. So you want them to add to running back? Are you interested in trading for
Drake?
Yeah, Kenyon Drake, or did you want them to go after Melvin Gordon while he was holding out, or like what are you seeking here?
I feel like we are in a position where we could, that guy, if Gore got hurt, okay, let's say Gore gets hurt or something, or what we already had with Devin Singletary. When I see, I don't see Gore as a guy who's going to run the ball 25 times or even 20 times a game, especially as we get deeper into the season. So with a guy with a hamstring injury that could be out in another couple of weeks, that's a tricky injury.
Well, sure. I mean, he's already been out since week two. We're into week seven now. I mean, I respect what you're saying. But to me, any running back could suffer an injury. I mean, it's a high risk position. So Singletary is healthy now, so he's going to come back. And I mean, I can't guarantee you that he's not going to have a problem, and neither can the Bills. But I don't think he's any more susceptible than any other running back would be. I mean, you're at risk. I mean, you're playing a demanding position. That's a high collision position. It just happens. So I mean,
that's one part of this point.
Yeah.
The rest of it is, do we want to be better than they are? Do they want to be better than they are? And Lewis is saying, doesn't seem like it. I look at it a little differently in that what they did in the offseason by bringing all these guys on, you know, showed, that's kind of what the summer was overall. Thanks, Lewis, is, you know, the depth that they added, and they gave themselves, like TJ Yeldon is not being mentioned here. Yeldon is somebody who suffices as your, I don't think he's, they wouldn't call him their emergency option or anything, like he's above that, but he suffices as that. And also, I'm somebody who doesn't mind when it's Marcus Murphy, because we don't know who he is. And the Bills and NFL teams are wrong constantly in this evaluation. Who was Robert Foster until he played? Wow, this guy's really good. He wasn't even drafted. Like, they're wrong constantly.
Yeah.
So you find out how those guys are once they play, and they might be fine. And at running back, they often are.
I think they have been probably better than even okay at running back, even with Singletary hurt and he's coming back. I just don't see that as a position of weakness right now for them at all. I think Singletary will be good. I mean, I can't guarantee you that he's not going to have some other injury or re-injure his hamstring, but I mean, I think they've gotten through the first five games of the season with him barely making an impact. I mean, that's not right. Maybe they don't win the Jet game at all without him. I think him coming back is going to be a big help, and I think they're just fine at running back myself.
Yeah, like I don't know where to even start in trying to analyze whether he's at risk. I mean, he's been out a month, and it was never like advertised as he's going to be out a month. It was like, well, we'll see this week. Mm-hmm. That's how McDermott talks about most situations. Like, you know, is he going to play Sunday, coach? Well, maybe we'll see how we feel. Like, mm-hmm. He could get hit by a bus. Like, we'll see. We don't know yet because the game isn't right now. But, like, he's been out a month, and I just feel like that's obviously a consideration to the Bills and the doctors and all that. Just like, he'll play when he's ready, and he's past all that reason for concern.
They definitely haven't rushed him. It doesn't seem at all. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not worried about it. In fact, I'm excited that the guy's back. I think he's going to add something to their offense. Again, that I don't know if they really need it this week against Miami, but whatever. He's healthy. He should play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Thanks, Lewis, though. That was interesting. Like, I didn't really consider a fan. I know Lewis a little bit, sort of being bothered by that situation, but you are, and that's cool. Whatever. Mike Dempsey in 20 minutes. Singletary, he may come up in that conversation because I hear a lot of fantasy guys who are, to say the least, intrigued with the idea of Singletary for the rest of the season with the schedule the Bills have. Like, games like this, you want your fantasy running backs in. I mean, this is a team you want them to be. You want it to be obvious that they're the number one guy, and the Bills are not that for this. And I've got the prop bets on that, by the way, too. The running back carries and yards for this game. So I think Singletary is really appealing from that standpoint too. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio in for the roundtable 5 to 6 today. This is WGR.
I think they embrace the challenge. Obviously, we got our backs against the wall now, and we've had it there in many ways from the adverse situations we've faced all year. And I know these guys will come focused and ready to go to.
Aaron Boone, the Yankees are down 3-1. So Houston needs one more in three games to make the World Series against Washington.
Is it Verlander tonight? Can't remember who goes.
It should be.
I think it's one.
It should be.
Yeah, okay.
Alvin Kamara out.
Woo.
Sunday. Just in. Verlander and Paxton tonight.
Okay.
I guess I read Rosenthal on the series. The point he was making, and maybe this is like the point that's being made about the Yankees being down in the series, is that they do not have the starting pitchers that Houston does or that Washington does. Like, that's the storyline right now. And that's kind of cool, actually, as a fan, because we've gotten so far away from that.
Yeah.
The starting pitcher storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at Houston's guys and Washington's guys, if that's the matchup, those are some great matchups. And so, like, it's a criticism of the Yankees for not spending on that, you know? And I think that's tough. Like, the Yankees have done a great job. And they were right to attack bullpen like that. They lost Betances for the year. That's not good. I mean, they could have maybe one guy like that somehow, whoever it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Yankees are a super smart organization. And they had tons of injuries this year and still killed it.
I mean, you know, I don't have any sympathy for Yankee fans, but I hope they, like, at least can look at the year and feel like it was maybe a surprisingly great year because of all the injuries. Like, they overcame a lot to have a really nice year.
Holy cow, yes.
And so, you know, you losing the ALCS to a great team with that pitching, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you should feel like, oh God, we got to do this and this and this and this and, you know, we got all these problems or whatever. I mean, it's...
Is there a philosophical adjustment they need to make if they lose this series, which they haven't done yet? I don't know. I don't think they need to. They lost Severino for almost the whole year. Betances for the whole year. Stanton basically for the whole year. Andujar basically for the whole year. Like, it's hard. That's not even, Gregorius missed whatever the first half. Like, they just had a lot of stuff. Well, yeah, you know, if they lose, I'll be happy though.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Especially if they lose at home, that's even better.
Right.
If they lose at, if they get swept at home here and lose the series tonight, that's great.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie that I will enjoy that.
Verlander doing it would be really cool.
Like, just, you know, Yankee fans being mad.
Alvin Kamara declared out for New Orleans. New Orleans at Chicago, late game Sunday. High ankle sprain in their last game at Jacksonville. And, like, he has not been a big story this week, really, relatively speaking. Kamara, you've got Latavius Murray then, who looks okay, will be the workhorse for the Saints, presumably, at the Bears. Still a tough matchup, but, yeah, just know that. No McCaffrey this week on bye, no Kamara now. All these quarterback injuries, now you've lost Mahomes here for maybe a month, it seems. Not good. All right, we'll talk to Mike Dempsey and get some much-needed advice, Bulldog. Mm. I'm 1-5 in Paul's league.
Yeah, you're way behind.
I'm terrible at this.
I mean, I beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, Tunsil's gas mask beat you. Really, I just pulled the strings.
You don't take the credit.
No. It's a team win.
I see.
Yeah.
Who did I have there last night? Oh, Mahomes. Yeah, great.
Yeah. I had Kelce and Hill, and I did all right. I got 32 points between the two of them. I think that's, you know,
yeah,
it's not great.
No, it's a par.
But right.
It's
yeah.
For Hill, it's a par. For Kelce, it's like a par on a par five, like an easy par. You really want.
Yeah, yeah.
He has not scored a touchdown yet. Right? Kelce? Has he scored a touchdown this season? I don't think he has.
Man, I don't know. He hasn't.
When's that coming?
He's not had a big wild week. I know that. So maybe that's a big part of why.
He has one.
Oh, he has one? Yeah. Which game was it?
Week one? In the week two, Oakland.
Okay, so he has one touchdown still. All right, we'll talk to Mike and get into some more questions here. Sal Capaccio as well later today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Stay with us. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.